Timothy chapter 1. And I titled this Christ Jesus Still Our Hope. 1 Timothy chapter 1. It says in the first verse of 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. And I was thinking about this time of the year. You know, people, maybe not just this time of the year, but it seems to come up this time of the year more than other times of the year. People crave stability. They need an anchor, something that maybe never changes. You know, it's a time that can be really rough for people, Christmas time and the seasonal time. And I like to call it, like, people need a place to tie their horse or a place to call home. In the old days, navigators used the North Star as a means of navigation, because the North Star, which is one of the stars in the constellation Ursa Minor, it's a star that doesn't really move in the heavens. It's called Polaris, and the rest of the stars revolve around it. So they used to use that star as, they called it the pole star, the star that you could navigate with, because it was fixed, so to speak. And you could find that by looking at the, you know, the Big Dipper, sort of called the two stars on the edge of the Big Dipper, and line up the pole star. And it stays fixed to one of the brighter stars in the sky as well. They use that for navigation. It was an anchor point, something that they could, you know, rely on, if you will. And for us, that anchor, that never-changing reality is Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He's the one around which you can build your life, your hopes, your dreams, everything around Jesus Christ. He's the anchor. He's the pole star. He's the what we navigate by. He is what gives us reason to live, and reason for everything else that we do. In Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews. As Dad was mentioning, it's a good time of the year to be telling people about not the star they followed necessarily, but about He who is the star, the bright and morning star. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, He was promised in Genesis. Everything that was written about Him in the Old Testament was true. And those who looked for Him in the Old Testament were the ones who, in Hebrews chapter 11, are called as ones who live by faith. The ones who lived, it was because of Him that He was coming. He was promised. Everything was written about, and guess what? Everything written about Him in the future is also still true. And He's coming back. You know, and all the promises that are going to be fulfilled in Him in the future are also true. It's not just yesterday or today. It says yesterday, today, and forever. You talk about He who is the anchor point of all mankind is Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter, sorry, in Ephesians 1, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. So the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ's ministry has far-reaching implications to this world and the things of this world, more so than anything else ever could have or ever will. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So I've looked at this section quite a lot in the last few months. That the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. By the way, a quick aside here on verses 19 and 20. Those two verses, I believe, and I've been looking at them, are very key to understanding healing and deliverance. You have access within you to the power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. God put that power in Christ, and Christ is now within us. So we have access to that power. I believe it's a real touch point for deliverance in the lives of people. If we really understood what that means. That's why this is a prayer of Paul. He was praying that we would understand that. Anyway, like I said, a quick aside, but verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filled all in all. That is not just true now, it's going to be true in that age to come as well. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. His ministry is far-reaching. He's the anchor point. He is the one around which the ages revolve. It's no wonder people think he's God. He's not. But that's what God has put him to be. When you understand that, boy, it's a real blessing. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We're not going to look at those verses, but it says all over the New Testament, it pleased God for that to dwell in the Lord. It was what pleased God to do. That's what pleased him to do that. Thankfully, it did please him because it's wonderful. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. You know, a guy that looked around and said, who am I going to find that I can swear by? I guess I'll just swear by myself. He couldn't find anybody greater to swear by. Saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. The hope of the return of Jesus Christ and all that it means is an anchor to our soul. It's what stops us from wandering to and fro in the world. You know, in the Old Testament, in life, an anchor and a ship is used for two purposes. One purpose is that when the waters are calm, the boat doesn't just drift out to sea slowly. You know, when there isn't even anything apparently going on around you that's giving you any kind of pressure, you just kind of drift away. The anchor would stop that. The other reason the anchor is used for is when the seas were really, really rough and ravaging, that it would prevent the ship from being destroyed on the rocks. It would anchor it. The hope of Jesus Christ is that anchor for our souls today. You know, when things don't even seem bad or we're just kind of, you know, normal, you just drift away from the Lord and all that the Word of God represents. Because if things aren't going bad, you don't need God. You don't need that. What's the point? What's he going to do for you? Now, those are evil thoughts. But they're the thoughts that come. And the anchor of the soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that hope prevents that. But only if you and I think about it and stay in it. And even here in the run-up to that section, what does he say there in verse? He says, be not slothful, right? I think I missed that back here. He says, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Not to be slothful, not to forget or be lazy in our thinking. The other thing is, when times get rough, you know, we look to the hope of the return. It's the reason that we keep going. There might be other hopes in life and things you want to do and all that, but by and large, you will find, if you're younger, maybe you haven't understood it yet, but you will someday, that it's the hope of Christ, the return of Christ and all that it means, that allows you to live this life. There is nothing else that will stick or that will maintain or keep you except the hope of the return of Jesus Christ. It's the anchor. It's the thing. It's the thing you want to keep in your mind, the forefront of your mind, on a regular basis, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See, it's Jesus Christ who was that forerunner, or the guy that would be responsible for taking the anchor and hooking it for the ship. He's the one who entered through the veil and hooked that anchor right to God. It's Jesus Christ who was the agent of our salvation. He's the one who did that work. So now we're anchored right to God by the work of Christ. In Acts chapter 2. I like the way that, you know, the anchor, it's like God's way of saying there's never a time in your life, whether either things are calm or things are rough, there's never a time in your life when it's not the hope of the return of Christ that you need in your life. You know, in Acts 2:22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. On my way to heaven. Yeah, that song in your mind. For David, verse 26, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. See, it was because of the coming of Christ that David wasn't moved. It was because of that allowed him to stand despite the things going on around him. He said because of that, he could rest in hope, and he would, his flesh, let's look at Psalm 16, where this is quoted from, in Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Where that was being quoted from. Verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. This is referring to the days in the Old Testament. They would divide up the fields for inheritance. He says, Lord, you maintain my lot. The lines are fallen out unto me in pleasant places. The best of the fields, the best of the places where they would plant, all that were given to him. That's what he's talking about. Thou maintainest my lot. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set, here's where the Lord always before me. Always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. See, the thing that's we're looking at today was, because of that hope, it allows you to live today, not, you know, in rejoicing. And it's not a thinking where you're thinking, oh, because of that hope, I'm going to be out of here. It's not escapism, if you understand what I'm saying. He said, because the Lord was coming someday, he was able to rejoice in that day, in the day that he lived. It allowed him to live in peace and joy. Because some of those guys in the Old Testament, they never even saw the promise, right? Mm-hmm. Yet they were able to endure and live. Verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption, talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What a great psalm. You know, David, that's how he lived his life, because the Lord was coming. In Romans chapter 5. You know, David basically was saying, look, everything else may fall apart in my life, but I am not going to be moved. And it was only the hope that gave him the assurance of that. We've already seen, let's look at Romans 5:2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And Romans 12:2 says, rejoicing in the hope. You know, so we've seen that because of the return of Christ, we can rest, be at rest. You know, you don't have to be anxious. You know, things may go wrong. Let's say you do something that hurts, you get hurt, or something happens to you. Well, he's coming back. The pressures of this life are what the Word of God calls a light affliction compared to what glory is coming. So you think of all those things, and all of a sudden the things that you might have thought were so burdening you in this life seem really, really small because he's coming back. It allows you to be at rest, to live in peace, and to rejoice. You know, what is 150 years? I increased that. 100 years in this life compared to thousands of years eternity with the Lord. And if you start thinking those things of this life just seem to, you know, slowly fade away in life, you can be at peace. In Hebrews 11, we don't go there, but all those guys who live by faith regarding the coming one, you know, what were they able to do because of hope? Think of all those men, like Noah, 100 years plus building a boat. Wow. Oh, at least God gave him a full-time job. Pension was the entire world. Right? Get a job. How about Moses? It says that he forsook Egypt, everything, the riches of Egypt, power of Egypt, because of the coming one. Did he see the Lord come? No. Yet he lived during that time, in his 100 and some years, whatever it was, he was able to live in light of that. And that allowed him to rejoice and live. Like, should the Lord not come back for 1,000 years, even from today? Well, we ought to live today in light of that and rejoice and be at peace, not be anxious, because he is coming back and we are going to be there. Christ Jesus is still our hope. He's our anchor point. He's the reason we do anything we do. You think about that. Well, it really changes the way you think about day-by-day activities of life. So you get stuck in the snow. Well, the Lord's coming back. Yeah, someday it's going to be just fantastic. You know, you can rejoice in that. And the other thing is, That's what people ought to see in us. You know, well, how come nothing phases these weird people? You know, why are they joyful despite what's going on? Why do they always seem to be positive about everything? It's nauseating. You know? Right? And again, I don't mean that kind of false Christian, because there is that side of life that's I find nauseating myself. But it's an in-depth, underlying, foundational certainty with which we can walk in this life, knowing who we are, and nothing can shake you. It's not the, you know, the characteristics and attributes, the world things that are important that decide who you are. It's Christ. You have Christ in you. That's who you are. End of story. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, a couple more verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing. Again, both books of Thessalonians, you could read in their entirety and talk about this topic. We'll read one verse. Remembering without ceasing your faith, your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Patience of hope. We patiently endure. We patiently look forward. We're patient in our dealings with each other, with the world, with God. Just patient, waiting for the coming of Christ. And we'll close in 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, as I said, you know, people look at you and say, well, what is that hope you always seem to have? Or are we like everybody else? How's it going? Not bad. You know, I'm surviving. Getting by, same old. You know what it's like. Is that us? Does that line up with anything we've read here? No, it's, you know, and it's not that false. Oh, yeah, everything's fine. I'm blessed. No, it's not that. It's where you know who you are in Christ, and you know where you're going. You know what's most important is that, and there's nothing else. It doesn't matter what people or the world or anybody else thinks of you. What does God think of you? And with that, you live certain. Yes, I'm thankful to God. I'm standing on His word. I might have a few issues I got to deal with, but you know what? I know what the word says. That's the hope. That's what allows us to live that way. And there's a lot of others. We didn't really look at anything nearly as we know related to the hope, but other places it says that God's inheritance in the saints. It says that we can be bold and have boldness of speech in this life because of the hope. It says that we don't sorrow about things as others because of the hope. It says that we have hope of a greater salvation, a greater redemption that is coming. It says that we have eternal life. It says that we can comfort one another because of all these things. And it also says we're never to be shaken or troubled in respect of anything. That's the hope. The Christ Jesus still our hope. He's the anchor of our lives. He's the reason we do whatever we do. And, you know, and again, this time of year is certainly a time people do take a few minutes to think of an inkling of those things. And if there's even the open door, well, here we are to say, well, you know, God sure knew what He was doing with the salvation of this world through the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the guy who focused the calendar around Jesus Christ might have had some inklings of who it is to be the one around whom the ages revolve. That's Christ Jesus, you know, still our hope today. So, you know, let's share that as much as we possibly can. And more importantly, live it day by day throughout the year, despite what else is happening, despite what others might think or say. So, God bless.